This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Don't ever deny our Jewish roots. Thank you, David and choir. It was great. So I have a true confession to make. For about a year now, in the Unplugged service, I have been trying to shift us into the contemporary Lord's Prayer, as Sherry knows, who tries to keep up with the projection, because what we project on the screen is the contemporary version. It is an option in our prayer book that you can see if you want to look it up, and scholars say that it's more close to the original translation. So they're projected up on the screen, but the problem is that about every other week, I mess up. And I fall into the traditional prayer, and then I realize it, and then it interrupts my whole flow, and the congregation isn't quite sure what to do, and they're looking at the screen, and it's just, you know, what is supposed to be this beautiful, familiar plea to God for God's will in our lives and our daily bread becomes a distraction. Clunky, really, if the truth be known. So the reason that I did this is so that we would really be focusing on what it is we're saying. Because so often, especially with the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be, right? We just go through it. We aren't really quite sure even what it all means if we don't take the time to really listen to it and pray with it and study. It becomes just another habit. And so that was my intention. In studying for today's sermon, studying and living a little bit with this woman in the gospel, who was this persistent mother, you would think that I would just keep being persistent, okay? The congregation is going to get it, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to put it right in front of me. But I have a little bit of a different perspective on it now, a little bit of a different perspective. So hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it, I promise. This woman who had approached Jesus was in the area of the region of Tyre, and Jesus had been down on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee on the west coast, and he had decided that he was going to have his own little Labor Day weekend retreat and went up to Tyre to get away. It was about 30, 40 miles from Gennesaret. He was going to have a time apart, a reprieve, but there was no way that he could avoid notice. He had become so famous in the area, and this woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she was a foreigner and a woman, remember that, was bold enough and desperate enough to come to Jesus, to walk right in, to be at his feet and beg him to heal her daughter, who was at home, sick. In those days, the first century Jewish culture, men did not talk to women, and women, if they were going to talk, only could do so through a man in their family. That's for starters. Also, they weren't allowed to associate with people from another religion. They weren't even supposed to be interacting with them at all. So there's this woman who's come that's just breaking all these rules. The disciples must have just not known quite what to do, but she didn't have any other choice. Any loving mother or father would do the same. She saw in Jesus not only his fully human self, but his divinity. It was her last hope. So then what we see, though, in the gospel is Jesus wasn't acting from his divine self when he first addressed her. He was acting from his fully human self. He's calling his daughter a dog. Now, in first century Jewish culture, this would have been completely understandable because they were just shunned. And for our ears, it's horrible that this would have happened. And we can't imagine that Jesus would have done such a thing because we forget that he was fully human and a part of that culture. So brilliantly, this woman, this mother, says, turns the table on him, and she says, "Yes, but sir," she calls him, the translation is really Lord, "even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table." And he changes his mind. She gets him to change his mind, and more accurately, it was a mother's love. A mother's love that got Jesus to change his mind. Maybe he was tapping into his own mother's love. Whatever. She did it. And she expanded his ministry beyond Judaism, beyond the gender roles, and finally saw her as someone in need, and her daughter was healed. Her daughter was healed. So right after that, he goes, some people bring to a different area, some friends of this man who is deaf and hard of hearing, bring this man to Jesus, and Jesus takes him apart and in all intimacy touches him and says in Aramaic, "Ephatha," which means be opened, and he was healed. That is the same idea of this other woman. She was saying, be open to Jesus. Be open to me. Be open to the healing that I know that you can do, Lord. And he was. And he was. In those days, remember, if you had a physical impairment, it was looked upon as a punishment for sin. So Jesus, right after learning from this woman, then went on to even touch the untouchable and healing him. College professor Loy Bradley Ashton wrote about this passage, and I quote, "We get a rare glimpse of the humanity of Jesus here. We see how his humanness and his divinity can be completely combined, and he can only be fully God and fully human if he can faithfully be opened, ephatha, to both at the same time." And Jesus shows us, too, what it means for us to be human and realize that in our connection with a power greater than ourselves, that the Holy Spirit can work through us, too, when we realize that. And miracles can happen and lives can be transformed. Or we can leave from this place and continue to hold on to our own prejudices and shun people in little tiny ways that we all have done in our lives. Or we can ask Christ to be in that moment with us, to really see one another, to really be there for one another. There's a veteran by the name of Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove who tells the story of a man in Iraq, an Iraqi, who actually showed him this same kind of deep God love for another human being. He and his friends were in a vehicle, and they were going down a road, and they got in a wreck, and they went off the road, and it was a really bad wreck. And he remembers seeing his friends getting out of the vehicle, bleeding. One of them had a very serious head trauma. The others, other multiple wounds, passing out on the street. An Iraqi vehicle comes up, gets them all in the car, takes them to an Iraqi hospital. And the Iraqi doctor comes out and says, 3 days ago, your government bombed this place, but we have enough to help you, and we're going to help you. Come in. And he did. And they were healed. And they were healed. So these guys figured, this town was called Rutba, and these guys figured that they were going to go back, that this was, to them, a demonstration of Christianity, like the Good Samaritan story. Literally, with people lying on the side of the road. And they said, in that scripture, this man, Jonathan, remembered that it said, go and do likewise. So when they came back to this country, they opened a house and they called it Rutba. And it's a hospitality house where they welcome the homeless and the needy. And they've been doing it for 10 years. There's a YouTube video about it if you want to Google it and watch it. But he said that it's difficult still to be opened, to open that door when somebody knocks at midnight, because there's been times when people have stolen from them, where there's been graffiti, where there's been vandalism, and if he lived in that fear, he wouldn't be open. He wouldn't be helping anyone. He said, so we continue to open that door, to be opened, to live an ephatha life is what they are doing, and it's what we are called to do. So we can learn many, many things from this gospel, but there are two overarching takeaways that I'd like to leave you with. One, is to notice the stranger, to be there for those with whom we may not want to associate. Maybe those in prison. Maybe those that we shun or have prejudice against now from a foreign country. Maybe it's someone in our own community. Or maybe it's trying to learn from somebody who annoys us the most in our personal lives. There's something to be learned, because that annoyance is bringing up something in us to be healed as well. That's the first thing. The second thing is to have faith in the way that Anthony DeMello calls it, as insecurity. He says faith is insecurity. Just like that vet, when he opens his door, it's an insecurity because you don't know what's going to happen. When you open up to the radical love of Christ, you better buckle in. Lives are changed. And that's the kind of faith that that woman showed us, to live Ephatha lives. So back to the Lord's Prayer thing. So I am going to, as of today, go back to the traditional Lord's Prayer, and it's going to be projected on the screen. And my hope is that it will be a uniter in the familiar, and those who have been in this journey with me and unplugged over the last year and know the clunkiness of it, I hope now they'll come back to the traditional with new eyes and a depth of understanding that we're really praying for God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a big request. Amen.